The book of Revelation. The book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, we're continuing our study. We're drawing near the end. Just a few chapters remaining. Today we're looking at the end of the tribulation. The final judgments and heaven are the two subjects we're going to be covering today. And this message, this is actually a two-part message. And I can preach it all this morning. You want to hear it all this morning? Okay, how about if I split it up between morning and night? That'd be better? Amen? See, I understand. I've sat under long-winded preachers before. There's been times I've thought, is he ever going to quit? Right? Well, I don't want to put you in that position today of thinking, well, is he ever going to quit? I want to cover one part today and one part tonight. But here's the deal. If we cover and we're successful in what we cover, you got to come back tonight. Okay? So I ask you to do that, because both of parts of this message is very important. And so today, this morning, we're going to cover chapter 15. Tonight, we're going to cover chapter 16, and they both are very closely related. So come and be a part and get both parts of this message, okay? Revelation chapter 15, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up, read the rest of this chapter a little later on. But let's, at this time, turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your precious word. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just the blessing, the comfort, the encouragement that your word brings. I pray now that, Lord, you would use me as your speaking instrument, that your word will be preached and that you will take it and saturate it in your Holy Spirit so that it may touch hearts and lives and be an encouragement to those who need encouragement, comfort to the downhearted, and convicting to those who need conviction. Lord, I pray that your will be done in this message, the invitation, and the remainder of this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message today is, It Is Done. And we're going to elaborate on the "it is done" part at the end of the message, okay? But we start in the text that we read, the chapter 15 and verse 1. We open with another sign. John sees a sign in heaven. And from verses past and chapters past, you know what a sign is, right? When we see that word sign, we're talking about symbolic things. Most of the time we translate or we interpret scripture as being literal until we see something like this word sign, and we know that we're going to deal with symbolism. And the idea with this symbolism or this sign is that it's going to give us something that will aid in our understanding, something that will point us in the right direction, giving us insight into what Jesus is trying to reveal to us. This sign that we read about is described as being great and marvelous. Outstanding. You realize God is about to tell you something remarkable. That piques my interest. How about you? I want to hear remarkable things. I hear enough bad news. How about you? You know, you watch the news, and last week in the mission trip, I saw a lot of things that just kind of broke my heart. But you know, I want to hear good news. I want to be encouraged in the Lord. So we're going to start out with some encouraging news in the Lord. The first part of this message, we're going to speak of the celebration of the tribulation saints, which is encouraging. Now, the last part of this message, the second part that we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to speak of the condemnation of the tribulation sinners. But we're going to start with the encouraging part, just as Jesus has revealed it to John, the celebration of the saints. And John sees a sea of glass mingled with fire. A sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, how are you going to interpret that? Well, you're going to interpret that, first of all, the sea is representative of a multitude of people. The sea being mingled in fire represents the fiery tribulation, the fiery persecution that these tribulation saints have gone through. John observes those, it says, on this sea of glass mingled with fire. He observed those who have victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. I like that word, victory. Amen? The name of the church is victory. I like that. That's what we're about, being victorious over Satan. And these tribulation saints, they are identified as having victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark. They've not been contaminated by the satanic system of Satan at this point. They've chosen not to worship the image of the beast as been required by all the world. They've not committed themselves to this world system. They've not taken the mark of the beast so that they could survive. And they have faced fiery trials and tribulation. Have you ever faced the fire? Of these have faced Christian persecution such has not been known since the beginning of time. They've not been able to buy or sell. They've not been able to feed themselves or their families. They've not been able to have a paying job. All because they refused that mark of the beast. They've been forced to choose between their lives and their God. They've suffered hunger, persecution, and even death. And now they stand in the presence of God. The presence of the Lamb. And in a unified voice, they cry out, singing in victory. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 talks about these saints. It says, they've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives to death. Do you realize this life is not all there is? How many of you have troubles today? Amen. We all have some kind of trouble of some sort. Well, I just want to remind you, you know, some of us may be on the mountaintop of trouble. Some of us may be facing Satan everywhere we turn. We're trying to live for the Lord. We're trying to do what's right. But every time we turn around, it just seems like another tribulation, another persecution. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has saved us to be victorious, to win. And beloved, we will win as children of God. I like that. I like that. These now stand in heaven, having faced all the persecution that the beast, the Antichrist, could throw against them. And he has even taken their lives. But I want to tell you something he couldn't take. He couldn't take their salvation they had in Jesus Christ the Lord. Sometimes we get all downhearted and thinking because, you know, life gets difficult. But I want to tell you something. We can go through a lot, but there's one thing that Satan cannot take from you. He cannot take what you have in Jesus Christ. There's nothing he can do about that. The other thing I want you to understand, the first part of this message today, is I want you to understand that heaven is real. You ever think about that? I mean, we talk about heaven, but do you realize heaven is real? And that as we go through the tribulation, through the persecution, through the trials of this life, that as we endure, we have to keep our eye on the prize, realizing that this life is not all there is. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of these days, child of God, you are going to live forevermore in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will always be with the Lord. The old trials and tribulations of this life only last for a season. But joy comes in the morning. Keep your eyes on the prize, like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ. We have to keep our eyes focused on where we're going, because this life at different points in this life does become overwhelming. Now, you and I are not tribulation saints. Okay? As a matter of fact, you and I believe, will never face the tribulation, the great tribulation that is talked about here. Okay? Because what's going to happen at the beginning of this time period, Jesus steps out on a cloud and there's a shout with the voice of an archangel and bang, we're gone. Glory to God. But I do want you to realize, okay, that there is a place prepared for you, eternal in the heavens, that will never fade away. For those of you who have called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when this life gets difficult, I want you to understand, as you go through sickness, have you ever been through sickness and you just get all... It takes me about 2 days to become discouraged when I get sick. You know, the walls of the house start to close in. I am not a good patient. It's one of the few amens I get from my wife. I am a big old baby, okay? I don't like to be sick. I'll whine and complain. And after about 2 days of sitting in the house and the walls begin to close on me, I get to thinking, I'm dying. But I want to tell you what, there are some people who in this church are going through severe sickness that have been sick for a while. There are some people that are having to endure an extended illness. And they need to be encouraged. There are some people in our church family who are being persecuted for their stand in Christ. Some people who have been, I've known people who have been thrown out of their family because they became a child of God. How sad. How disappointing. There are some people that in the economy that we're going through are experiencing financial distress like they have never faced before. And there are some of us Christians who, quite frankly, feel anything but victorious at this point. But I want to tell you something today. I want to tell you to be encouraged, because it does not matter how you feel. Your victory does not depend on how you feel. As a matter of fact, your victory does not even depend on what you are doing or what you're going through. Your victory as a child of God depends upon what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, where He bought your forgiveness of sin. And now, because you have called upon Him as Savior, there will come a day when your faith shall be a reality and you will stand in heaven in His presence forevermore. Glory to God. Heaven is real. You ever read those heaven books? Let's see. Heaven is real. I think one of them's called Heaven is Real. Another one's just Heaven. I like to read those books. There are a lot of things brought out in those books that I can't scripturally prove, you know. But I'm just reminded by some of that. Heaven is real. This earth is not all there is. Better times await us. Times where no tears, no suffering, no sorrow, no sickness. Oh, but keep that in mind. Keep your eye on the prize. Because while we're here, yes, we go through difficulty. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Better times are coming. Better times are coming. I like Romans 8:18, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." If you are a child of God, I want you to understand this fact today. It does not matter what you're going through. It does not matter what Satan's doing to you. There is a place prepared for you eternal in the heavens by Jesus Himself. Oh, friends, better days lie ahead. Better days lie ahead. Won't it be wonderful there? There's an old song we used to sing. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing, life bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Keep your eyes on the heaven that Jesus bought, paid for, and built for you and I. Better things await. But you know what? It's not all good news. It's not all good news. Because there are some who have never cried out to Jesus, committing their hearts and their lives to Him. There are some who've never, you know, they've been fighting. One of these days, they say, I'll be saved. One of these days, I'm going to call upon Jesus. One of these days, when I get my life back together, I'm going to tell you, that'll never happen. If you want to get your life right, you start with Jesus and let Him get you right. Okay? And that's the sadness of this heavenly scene. Let's look back. Chapter 15 and verse 5. After these things I looked. After what? After that great celebration with the tribulation saints, declaring the glory of their great God. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chest girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. I want to take just a moment and think about these verses. We're told about seven angels who have the seven plagues, the last plagues. We're at the end of the tribulation. God is about to pour out His judgment. These angels, it says, are given bowls that are filled with the wrath of God. Here's something else you need to know about our great God. Oh, God is a God of love. Amen. He loves you. It doesn't matter, you know, I mean, your sin, I've heard people say, I'm just too bad to be saved. No, you're not. No, you're not. The love of God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all right? I mean, we have a church full of sinners here today. Amen? And we all say amen to that. Amen? We have a church filled with sinners. And you know what? There's not one individual in here today that deserves heaven. Not one. You pick out the best one among us, and that person, whoever it may be, does not deserve heaven. Oh, but the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Listen, friend. I'm about to share something with you that you need to know. See, God is indeed a God of love, but that does not mean He's not a God of wrath and a God of judgment. Okay? He also is a God of wrath and a God of judgment. That word wrath in the Greek, it literally means a passionate rage. You see, for some 6,000 years, God has been the loving God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But don't think just because God is a God of love and just because He's waited 6,000 years that He's never going to judge. Because if that's your idea, you're wrong according to Scripture. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon Christ rejecting mankind. And do you know why? It's not because mankind is murderous, sinners. It's not because of the homosexuality, the thievery, the wickedness of the world. That's not why the wrath of God is going to be poured out. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth because of Christ rejecting people. Okay? You see, when you reject Christ, then sin has to be judged. All right? And then we get to the wickedness, the homosexuality, the immorality, the drunkenness, and the list goes on of the sin of mankind. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens is Jesus' righteousness is imparted to you. And He takes your wickedness upon Him. And He took it to the cross of Calvary and paid for it. You see, that's what Calvary was about. Calvary was about God's judgment upon the sin of mankind, and Jesus bore it all. Okay? And the choice is this, you see. The choice is that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we receive His forgiveness that He bought and paid for out of love for us upon Calvary. Or we reject Jesus and stand accountable for our own sin. If you stand accountable for your own sin, I want you to know this, you are not going to heaven. Okay? If you believe in heaven, there is another place that you have to believe in. That place, according to the Bible, is called hell. And God, there's coming a day that God's patience, His long-suffering will end, and He is going to pour out His wrath of judgment upon this earth. He did it with Adam and Eve. He exiled them out of the garden. He did it in the days of Noah, where we read in Genesis chapter 6 how the Lord saw the wickedness of man and was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He made man. And you know what He did? He sent a flood upon the earth, killing all of mankind except Noah and his family. Judgment. Judgment. The Tower of Babel, where the languages were confounded. Judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah, where God rained fire down from heaven and destroyed that city. Judgment. I want you to understand today that God, though He is a loving God, and though He does not want anyone to perish, He is also a God of judgment. And my friends, judgment is coming. I want you to grab a hold of this. The temple that we read about here in heaven is filled with smoke. and the glory and the power of God. And look what it says. No one was able to enter that temple till the seven plagues are complete. You know what happens here? Like I said, we're at the very end of the tribulation period. God's pouring out His judgment. And at this point, when these angels have the seven last plagues and holding the wrath of God, God becomes unapproachable. I want you to think about what I just said. We reach a point in history where God is unapproachable. The glory of God has filled His temple. The power of God has filled His temple, and nobody can go in. No one. Because of His glory. You see, we've reached a point in history where there's no turning back. I believe at this point in history, it's too late for man to cry for mercy. It's too late. Oh God, I was wrong. No. It's judgment time. You chose. You chose to reject Jesus Christ. You chose to bear your own sin. And now nothing can deter the judgment of God. His long suffering is ended. There is no more mercy. There is no more waiting. There is no more delay. What we're going to cover tonight in chapter 16 is the pure, unrestricted judgment of God as it is poured out upon the Christ-rejecting men of this earth. Only bitterness is left. Oh, my friends. I look and I read this and I get to thinking sometimes, how can I preach this positive? How can I be positive and encouraging and preaching? And you can't. You cannot. Judgment is coming. And for those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, beloved, this is what you face. If you want to get insight tonight in tonight's message, read chapter 16. I'm going to be in heaven. I've received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But even as I read chapter 16, it scares me. Knowing what lies ahead. One of these days, you're going to wait too long. And it's going to be too late to turn. And I ask you today, when we get to this point, we're at the ending of the tribulation period, where are you going to be? You're either going to be in heaven, rejoicing with the saints of God, or you're going to be in hell, enduring the eternal punishment, or you're going to be upon this earth, tasting the wrath of Almighty God, the passionate judgment that is poured out upon sinful man. Where are you going to be? Now you may say today, I'm so glad I'm saved and I don't have to worry about it. Because I'm going to be in heaven, Brother Doug. Wonderful. But let me ask you this. Who do you know that's not? Who do you know that's not going to heaven? That faces the judgment of God? Maybe that good person that you work with, you know. There are a lot of good people out there who are lost, you know. Sometimes it's hard for them to understand the need for salvation because they don't steal, they don't rob, and they don't kill. But I want to tell you something, you're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you have ever told a little white lie? Would you raise your hand, please? You're a liar. Makes you a liar. It does. And it makes you a liar. Lying is a sin against Almighty God. How many of you have ever took something that didn't belong to you? Don't raise your hand. makes you a thief. Makes you a thief. That's a sin. Listen, I don't care how good you think you are. We're all liars, thieves, and so on and so forth. Okay? And we all have to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior or to reject Him. See, the good news is that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I said earlier, it's not about what you do, it's about what Jesus did on our behalf. Oh, you can't earn it. You just have to ask for it. Today, if you're not a child of God, I'd invite you to come this invitation and let me pray with you. And you pray and you ask Jesus to save you. Maybe you're here today and you know you're going to heaven. But you know some folks that are not. You know where you need to be? You need to be on this altar praying for those folks. Amen? Amen. Brother Doug, you asking me to go to the altar? Yes, indeed. Prayer works. And most especially, my friends, if you personally have never made that decision, if you've never committed your life to Christ, this invitation is for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning to Christ rejectors. And thank you for the encouragement to those who have accepted you as their Savior. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in your goodness, but we are concerned for those who have never called upon you for salvation. Now I pray that in this invitation, your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.